Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapter How Krishna Kidnaps Rukmini. Very exciting parts coming up. So we're going to read together texts 18, 19, 21, 22, 23. Krishna Rama Dvisho Yataha Kanyam Chajaya Saditum Yad Agacha Hare Krishna Rama Jayadabirvita Yochama Samhatastena Iti Nischita Manasaha Ajagamur Bubujal Sarve Samagra Bhalavahana. Translation. To secure the bride for Shishupal, the kings who envied Krishna and Balaram came to the following decision among themselves. If Krishna comes here with Balaram and the other Yadus to steal the bride, we shall band together and fight him. Thus, those envious kings went to the wedding with their entire armies and a full complement of military conveyances. Purport. The word samhataha, which normally means bound tightly together, may also mean thoroughly struck down or killed. Thus, although Krishna's enemies thought they were united and strong, samhataha, in the former sense, they could not successfully oppose the personality of Godhead, and consequently, they would be struck down and killed. Samhataha, in the latter sense. Text 20 and 21. Shudhyata Bhagavan Ramo Vipakshiya Ripodyaman Krishnam Chaikam Gatam Hartum Kanyam kalaha shankitaha balina mahata sarnam bhatris neha pariplutaha twahita kundinadin pragyad gajasra ratapatibihi. Translation. When Lord Balaram heard about these preparations of the inimical kings and how Lord Krishna had set off alone to steal the bride, he feared that a fight would ensue. Immersed in affection for his brother, he hurried to Kundina with a mighty army consisting of infantry and of soldiers riding on elephants, horses, and chariots. Text 22. Bhishma kanya varo raha kankshantya gamamam pare prachapatim apasyanti dvijasya chintayatada. Translation. The lovely daughter of Bhishmaka anxiously awaited the arrival of Krishna. But when she did not see the Brahmin return, she thought as follows. Aho triyamana kari rita adgayo me lapa radhasa naga chatyari vindaksho naham vedna tra karanam so pinarvatate japi matsandish haro dvijaha. Translation. Princess Rukmini thought, alas, my wedding is to take place when the night ends. How unlucky I am. Lotus-eyed Krishna does not come. I don't know why. And even the Brahmin messenger has not yet returned. Therefore, it is apparent from this verse, as confirmed by Srila Sridhar Swami, that the present scene takes place before sunrise. We'll do this one responsibly. Api mayam badhyatma, api maya anabadhyatma,
api maya anabadhyatma,
jishva kinshchit jugupsitam,
jishva kinshchit jugupsitam,
matpani grahane nunam,
matpani grahane nunam,
nayatihi krito jamaha. Please chant. Başlıyoruz. Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Might.
In me.
Anavajya.
Faultless.
Always.
Atma.
He whose body and mind.
Drishva.
Seeing.
Kinchit.
Something.
Jugupsitam.
Contemptible.
Mat.
My.
Pani.
Hand.
Grahane.
For the taking.
Nunam,
indeed,
Naayati,
has not come.
He,
certainly,
Kritta Ujjamaha,
even though originally intending to do so. Translation. Perhaps the faultless Lord, even while preparing to come here, saw something contemptible in me and therefore has not come to take my hand.
Purport.
Princess Rukmini boldly invited Sri Krishna to kidnap her. When Rukmini did not see him come, she naturally feared that he had rejected her proposal, perhaps finding some unacceptable quality in her. As expressed here, the Lord himself is anavajja, faultless. And if he saw some fault in Rukmini, she would be an unworthy bride for him. It was natural for the young princess to feel such anxiety. Furthermore, if Sri Krishna had actually made this decision, it would be natural for the Brahmin to fear Rukmini's reaction were he to bring her the news, and that would explain why he did not come. So I can think of a lot more anxiety I could have on other things. The blessing that she has this anxiety of worrying if Krishna's going to come or not. It's not really anxiety, it's actually an anxiousness. When will he come? When will I get to see my Lord? So this is the type of anxiety that Prabhupada considers is transcendental. And Prabhupada says that it's actually it's a favorable thing to have in Krishna consciousness, some anxiety. Prabhupada gave the example that in our day we have so much we want to do for Krishna and we don't get it all done, and that creates anxiety, but that's good anxiety. So in thinking, the next day, yes, I have so much more I want to do, so much in this lifetime I'd like to do for Krishna. So at the time of death, thinking, but Krishna, I want to serve you this way, that hopefully he'll accept us and we'll continue that service in the next lifetime. But most people have a fear of death. They are in anxiety. I don't know about any of you, but even when I was a child, I would lay in bed at night and wonder, what's it like, going to be like to die? Is it going to be painful? Am I going to be awake? Am I going to do it in sleep? Many, many hours thinking about, what is death is going to be like. Being anxiety and fearful. But the devotees, I know now that I think of death, thinking, I just hope some of my god sisters are there to chant for me and praying that Prabhupada will put in a good word and hopefully some lifetime get to see Krishna. At least I'll get to do service next lifetime, Prabhupada says. So the anxiety becomes anxiousness. Anxiousness to be with Krishna in whatever circumstance Krishna wants us to be in next lifetime. But fortunately, the process of bhakti, we actually get to be with Krishna right now. So this anxiety for Krishna is a good thing. And we should pray that Krishna will come at the time of death and kidnap our consciousness. And actually come and just take it so that we can be fixed on Krishna. And if nothing else, we can pray for our messenger, Srila Prabhupada, to deliver it and say, she's having trouble. Can you go help? So we have the same situation that Rukmini has here, in some ways, at the time of death. And so Rukmini, she's feeling herself a little unqualified. So what to speak for ourselves? We should feel
very unqualified. Actually, many of the acharyas have written songs and prayed in that way. Actually, Prabhupada's most favorite song, Jamuna told me, was this Hari Hari Bipale, Narottam Das Thakur. He also has this lamenting, but this yearning that Krishna, please come take me. And he expresses it in a couple of verses. O Lord Hari, I've spent my life uselessly, having obtained a human birth and having not worshipped Radha and Krishna. I have knowingly drunk poison. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Vrishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottam Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet, for who is my beloved except for you? So this is a real nice expression, just like Rukmini's and her thoughts here has that same mood. Another a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes, when I examine myself, I find nothing of value. Your mercy is therefore essential to me. If you're not merciful, I will constantly weep and I will not maintain my life any longer. So I'm sure Rukmini is wondering, you know, life is useless. I mean, if I have to marry Shishupal, you know, she'd probably kill herself. So she's hoping against hope that the Lord comes and arrives on the scene. So this is, she actually has a lot of different expressions that we can take advantage of by looking at them, and especially in relation to our own chanting. Actually, our japa should be like writing a letter to Krishna every day. We should be expressing our thoughts and our anxiousness and our disqualifications and our wishing to have some humility like Rukmini here. But this should, every day, this should be like that mood of writing a letter to Krishna to please come and save us. And we can apply it in our expression in the Maha Mantra. We find that sometimes, I know that our japa becomes the best when there is some upheaval in our life, or like you've lost something, like a credit card or something, you know, oh my gosh, Krishna, 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 you know, and you're in complete distress, then you call out in a very sincere, in a very powerful way from the bottom of your heart, please. But every day we should really be doing that, not just when something goes wrong or we lose something. So every day should be a practice of how we can do that. But the reason why we don't do it every day is what? Because we're thinking, I'm independent. I don't really need Krishna so much. I'm quite capable. I have my list of things I'm going to do today. I'm going to get them all, you know. And I'm pretty much in control of my life right now. No problem. But that's really not the case. Actually, we're totally dependent on Krishna. Krishna is our mother, our father, our everything. This is the proper way we should be thinking. We have to refresh that in our mind every day before we chant, that we are very dependent. Yesterday we had a nice description of the different kings that were in the assembly. What happens is that they're thinking that Krishna is in my way, right? Krishna's in the way of my enjoyment. In the same way, we can, you know, the conditioned soul has that mentality, and we still have it, that, you know, Krishna can be there, but I don't need Krishna to enjoy. I'm independent of my enjoyment of Krishna. So we have to be very different than this mentality of being envious of Krishna, and in our chanting, actually, understand that we have to include Krishna. We have to make Krishna part of our life. And we can do this by reminding ourselves every day by chanting at least 16 rounds every day. It's so important. Prabhupada never minimized that, because we need constant remembering. We're pretty pitiful in our remembering Krishna. We get so involved in all of our activities thinking that we're the doer. So we have to make sure we chant the 16 rounds, especially without offense. Actually, we can only really enjoy when we're starting to surrender to Krishna. We have to get rid of this illusion that we can enjoy without him. So even in our chanting, we shouldn't be thinking that I'm doing it for my personal enjoyment. Yeah, today I'm going to enjoy my japa. No, but we should do it as I'm doing it to please Guru and Krishna. It's so nice that we have this direction from the spiritual master to tell us what actually satisfies Krishna. Otherwise, who knows what we'd be think we could do for Krishna to please him. So in every moment, we know what to do, how to behave properly in Krishna consciousness. And especially we should not have this mood of chanting for name, fame, glory, especially in kirtan. You know, if we're talented in some way, it's so easy to think that, yes, I'm such a good this, I can sing with my vibrating tone of voice and so many things. It actually pollutes your consciousness. It pollutes the chanting and it makes it impotent to some degrees, although its holy name is pure, but we want to get there. We want to get it the most out of it. And that means, you know, not for name, fame, and glory, but to simply to please Krishna. And that also takes a lot of practice. So here Rukmini is, she's kind of on the mental. She's thinking, oh yes, at one minute she's thinking, yes, Krishna's going to come. And then another minute, no, I guess he's not going to come, I'm too fond. Oh yes, he's going to come, oh, he must come. But you see that she has that hope. It's such a strong thing that Krishna is her goal. No one else is going to do. None of these other kings, nothing else is going to do, only Krishna. And she's had that hope for quite some time, and she doesn't give it up now. And this is one of the keys in chanting, is that we don't think that Krishna will ever leave us, that he is there in the holy name, and that he does love us. This is very important, that we keep chanting and not giving up, that that this process of bhakti will work, that this chanting of Hare Krishna that we've been doing for so many years will take effect, and it is taking effect right now. We were reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the devotional creeper and realizing that how exceptional this process of bhakti is, this watering of that creeper. It's such an exceptional thing compared to any other religious process where in some of them you get, you know, certificates of commencement and then you go to a next degree, you do some academia, you get a next diploma. Externally, you look like you're advancing, but internally, that creeper isn't really being cultivated constantly. Prabhupada says, must be constantly chanting and hearing and glorifying Krishna, even if it's just mentally, singing in our minds or thinking about Krishna. That whole analogy of the creeper is really amazing. We get so many details of how to cultivate it, how we have to put up not just the watering, but we have to put up a fence. Otherwise, just like we had to put up that deer fence, we have to put up a fence, and this is to keep offenses out of our chanting, which will stunt it. And some of those offenses are, of course, offenses to the guru by not following his instructions, all of them, every single one of the instructions, even the teeny tiny ones. Very important to keep out these unwanted offenses. And also giving up the association of non-devotees, very important. It can trample down our garden very quickly. Not that we don't go out there and associate with devotees like this weekend. We have great opportunity to talk to hundreds of people. Very exciting. You all should really go for it. You know, try to squeeze in a spot. Because it's such an opportunity to look into these people's heart and figure out how I can start their creeper. How can I give them a seed? It's really a challenge. But you know, only so many people are fortunate to understand the importance of that creeper and how we can develop it in this lifetime to reach the ultimate fruit, to actually pick that fruit in this lifetime and to taste it. And then give our association, give that fruit to others. And then, of course, ultimately we'll become into the most potent love of God, and which will allow us at the time of death to see Krishna. Also, it's described about that creeper is that we have to pull a lot of weeds. And this is all going on when we're chanting. We have to be conscious that these weeds are material attachments we have for material things, different enjoyments. And it's described that there are unlimited varieties and species of these weeds, unlimited different things we can be attached to. So we have to be very cautious of those and try to pluck them out as we see them. And we can do this by knowledge, by reading these books very attentively, to be aware of all the different things that can keep us from cultivating that creeper to the utmost. And above all, we have to be very patient. Like Rukmini, I guess she's being patient. She's, although she's counting the minutes until that horrible time comes when she'll have to marry Shishupal. But it's important to be patient in our chanting and patient, very patient with this process. Lakshmamuni got a live help letter the other day, and she shared it with me, and she said that this person had gotten a book and was starting to chant, and then he said, I thought I gave the holy name enough time to work. And I'm thinking, you know, how long has this person been chanting, you know, not realizing in our state of consciousness, being conditioned souls for how many lifetimes is it going to take some time for to take effect. You know, so I'm sure she encouraged them to keep chanting and to pray that, yes, that we'll get that taste. When, oh, when will that be mine? Offenses ceasing, taste of the name increasing. Oh, when will that mercy shine? When, oh, when will that be mine? So we have to really understand the holy name. And it's going to take a lifetime to really understand that Krishna is there in that name. So I'm sure she gave him encouragement to keep chanting and to be patient. Just think how Krishna has been patient with us. He's been in our hearts, following us around for lifetimes, waiting patiently. Okay, when are you going to take up devotional service? When are you going to start coming back to me? When are you going to start doing something about it? But he never left, being extremely patient. So if we have to wait 10, 20, 30, 40 years of chanting, when will Krishna reveal himself? When will I hear the Lord's flute playing, as we've been told, when we chant purely? We have to be patient. And it's very important. Krishna never left us, so we can't leave our chanting. We have to just be constantly chanting and serving in some way or another. So in her writing and in these thoughts, she's expressing the proper mood for us to chant, in this begging mood. And she also, at no point, rejects Krishna. Even though she says, well, maybe he didn't find me qualified, but still, Krishna's so wonderful. She never rejects him. So we have to be like that too. Realize that we can never reject Krishna. But have we really rejected all these other Jarasans and Shishupals and other material things in the material world? Have we rejected them so that there is space just for Krishna? Shishupal, like, he's so controlling. Are we still wanting to control Jarasandha? Arrogant guy. Really arrogant. Are we still like that? Or, who's the other one? Pondraka. Are we still thinking that, yes, I'm so great. I am actually Krishna. I want to take your place. So, it might be that we're still married to this material world, to our material attachments. So we have to divorce them. Otherwise, Krishna's not going to want to have anything to do with us. So we have to remind ourselves of this constantly. I mean, even after, you know, now almost 50 years of chanting, you would think, boy, it's it's still a long way to go. But this is the whole name of the game that Krishna plays. We've been hearing in the 10th canto that Krishna does things to make us more anxious, just like here. It's going to be like the last minute that he comes in and swoops Rukmini away, you know. And she's just like, I'm sure just like her yearning is at the zenith, you know. And so even, you know, as we approach death, we get older and older in our chanting, but that's, Krishna's just doing it. It's his game. He does it to make us more pure and to go deeper and find out what's keeping us away, to make us more eager and to increase our love for him, ultimately. So this is, although here in this instance, Krishna doesn't really tease Rukmini like he does in some of the other places, but he's actually, you have to give him credit, he dropped everything and just got on his chariot and zoomed to get there in time. But he does make us very anxious, and we should welcome it. And so we sit back and we do our part. We do our chanting every day and follow the processes as much as we can. And this is our meditation this whole lifetime. Will Krishna please come kidnap me at the time of death and take me back to him? There's another example in Ram Lila of Sabari Muni, who was told to that Krishna's going to come, Lord Ram and Lakshman are going to come to your house in this lifetime, so get everything ready. And every day she was getting everything ready, flower petals, getting something for them to eat, all day long, thinking, yes, at any minute, Lord Ram is going to come. For years and years and years, she did that every single day, and he did come. So we should also understand that Krishna will come and take us away. I thought I'd also mention just a couple things about the disappearance date of these two personalities. There's not a whole lot that I could find. Actually, the one about Bhargava Swami, his best friend was Lokanath Swami, and we don't know much about Lokanath Swami either. So it was described that those two personalities were almost had the same mind and heart, that they were so close to each other. And that they, Bhargava Swami was the disciple of Gadadhar Goswami. They were actually considered as in when they went to Vrindavan, as some of these primary Goswamis. They were greatly respected and great world preachers. They did a lot of preaching. They went to Vrindavan. They were sent to Vrindavan, and they were like the first ones to actually enter Vrindavan and to roam around and try to find things. And it's described that Vrindadevi herself would actually guide them to this forest and to that forest. And they would be heard chanting and glorifying, oh, Kamudavan, Bandaravan, Jai Talavan. So, but they actually got this inspiration from Vrindadevi themselves. So you can see how intimate they were with Krishna. It's described that Bhargava Swami was in Krishna Lila that he is Prema Manjari, the gopi. So they were also very good friends with Narottam Das Thakur. So this is a little bit about Bhargava Swami. There's a little bit more about Kashishvara. He was in the Chaitanya Lilas. He was disciple of Ishwarpuri. And at one time, Ishwarpuri told him that he should go to serve Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And so he went to Jagannath Puri, but Lord Chaitanya saw, oh yes, you're actually considered senior to me. I guess he was older. And he says, I can't accept the service. But he was reminded that this is the orders of your spiritual master, that I serve you. So then he had to accept that. And he engaged in serving Lord Chaitanya in a kind of unusual way. He had a really big, strong body, and he would be his bodyguard, especially at Ratha Yatras. He would stand in the way, and so no one would bump him and everything. Reminds me on Sankirtan in Jacksonville last Saturday, we had one really drunk personality come at the end, and he was kind of bumping into the women. We have our bodyguard, Chaitanya Dasi, big Chaitanya Dasi. She says this is her service lots of times that she goes, and she did. She just went in front of him. They're about the same height and stature, and she just, like a bouncer, you know. So in the same way, Bhagarva Swami Kashyasvara was the bouncer for Lord Chaitanya. But he also enjoyed serving prasadam after kirtans. That was his service. So, very sweet. He was later asked by Lord Chaitanya to go to Vrindavan. And in response to this, he said, "This will split my heart in two to be away from you." And so Lord Chaitanya was in a dilemma, and he actually said, "Well, what am I going to do?" And so he made a deity identical to himself and gave it to Kashyasvara to take with him. And it's actually, he said, "You can call him Gaur Govinda." It's actually a deity, golden complexion, playing the flute. And this deity can be seen on the left side of Govindaji. And so he took this deity with him, and the separation was less. And he would actually watch the deity eat and be satisfied. So this satisfied him in his heart. His sister constructed a temple of Vallabhapura. I'm not sure exactly where that is, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati considered it very significant and would visit that temple. And later, Srila Prabhupada also visited that temple. Indeed, he's a Radha Govinda there. So this is a little bit about Kashyasvara, who was a dear associate of Lord Chaitanya. Does anyone have any questions about the class or anything, or have anything they want to say, especially about the chanting experience? And if they're having trouble being patient, I know that I get anxious and a little impatient at times, thinking, when will this all happen? But there are so many dirty things in our heart, and I just wanted to give one little example of how we should be realize that there's a lot of work to do in our hearts, so it's going to take time, is that we cleaned this burn pile over here the other day, and this is from the last probably 20 years. We're trying to cultivate a garden there. We figured the ashes would be good. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to start digging around in there. We got rid of all big stuff, and I started digging around, and all of a sudden, what is this? It was like a treasure hunt. It was just like in your hearts, oh, what is this? This garbage and that garbage and that garbage and this garbage. Car doors and old shoes and everything. And then the worst thing was the styrofoam, because it hadn't disintegrated. The metal had disintegrated, but styrofoam. So you figure the styrofoam is like our false ego. That is the thing that's going to take so long to disintegrate. So we have to really work on that and be patient.
Go ahead. Said a comment. If we say, I thought I gave the holy name enough time, it sounds like we haven't come to the point of surrender, because surrender means Ashishila Pada Tampanashtamam. Whether Krishna embraces me or rejects me, he's still my Lord. And when we come to that point, that if I look there, it's Krishna. And if I try and go away, that's also Krishna. So Krishna is itone shingha paratone shingha. He's here and he's there, he's within, he's without. When we realize that Krishna is the source of all that be, there's nothing which isn't Krishna, then we come to the point of surrender. And even if it's impossibly hard to chant, there's nowhere else to go but Krishna.
Our endeavors in bhakti are still polluted. There's different degrees. We still haven't come to that high to key stage. But Krishna sees endeavor, and he'll help us. Full surrender, Atmanivedana is still just now coming. Yes.
We hear when he leaves his body and he reaches the spiritual abode, since he already, you gotta be pure to go back to Krishna, of course we know that, and without the mercy of Guru and Krishna, it's impossible to reach Krishna. So then I was thinking, is that person, when the person, when the soul reaches the spiritual abode, will he be able, one, to see his, let's say, his relatives, which are the closest one for us? Because is there any identification after we become pure and go back to Krishna?
And these relatives are not our
so
relatives.
So that means, but we'll still be able to do something in the spiritual world for the people that are suffering in hellish conditions. That's pretty much
my question. Srila Prabhupada got sent here. And so, yeah, it's possible you might get sent here to do some more service. Or you might want us to have to come back again next lifetime to do some more ISKCON work.
Without being
Krishna. But whatever Krishna wants. But as far as identifying our relatives and things like that after this, right now, we should see them as not really our relatives either. They're just spirits. So.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. One more very, very small. I have a devotee friend that he's been chanting for almost like, he chants for 30 years or so, but he's not chanting in the last probably 1 or 2 years, but he's still in a good standing and, spiritually, but he's not chanting rounds. And I'll try to, we always have this conversation, and I say, forget about the number, just chant one round per day, and Krishna will reciprocate. Mm-hmm. And say, I chant for 30 years, and my heart, the same point, my heart didn't change. I say, Prabhu, it might take us lifetime after lifetime. We just have, like, so I always point out at him, and he say, well, you're not chanting 16 rounds. I say, maybe I'm not, but I chant every day, whatever number. I'm not in the number right now because I'm very fallen, but that's not an excuse either. We just have to chant. So I cannot get to encourage him to chant. What can I do? Can you give me like an advice? How can, besides the example that I'm giving him to chant every day, because he sees me chanting every day, what can how can I convince him to keep chanting, to start chanting?
Srila Prabhupada doesn't give a good outlook for those people that give up chanting, even though they might be devotees and everything. It says that they will be overcome by material desire eventually. So he's in danger. It's a dangerous situation if you can express that danger to him, that best to follow the process. We've been given such a fortunate thing. Why waste it? I mean, this lifetime's so short. We're seeing our godbrothers left and right go away, and we don't know. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to come back here. You know, it's not going to be any nicer place, that's for sure. You have something to add?
I had two comments. The way that I remembered it is, if you go back to Godhead, then so many generations are automatically liberated. So Krishna covered that aspect of relatives. And one time I asked, there was a senior devotee, and I was prompted to ask a question. So I asked a question, you can't become pure till you're free from material desires. But you can't give up material desires until you're pure. So is this a catch-22? How does that work? So he was an elderly sannyasi and traveling around. And he paused like they do. They take their time to answer. And then he looks at me and says, what do you want? And then he just stopped. That was it. So your friend who's not chanting, you ask him, what do you want? The reason we chant, because we want Krishna. If you don't chant, then what do you want? If there's no question, stop him. What do you want? And then you have intelligence. Do you really want that other thing? do you really want? What happens if you get that? What will be the duration of the happiness that you're getting from that? So what do you want, actually? Because for a devotee, he's concluded that he wants Krishna. Adosha, Sadhisattva.
I just wanted to mention also that just like when we're chanting, we want to have like a direct connection with Krishna, so that's what it is. I mean, there's no difference. His name, form, qualities, pastimes, everything's the same. So when we're chanting with the idea that we're directly connecting with Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the other thing is our spiritual, when we take initiation, our spiritual master gives us, you know, we take that vow. One of the things that we agree to do is to chant the fixed number of rounds every day. And also we have that obligation and responsibility to do it. It's our responsibility, not, and also the guru, because he's, you know, giving that mercy. So also when I chant, it helps me when I remember my Gurudev. I actually like visually, you know, put a garland around his and pray to him that I can please chant in such a way that I can please you, because when you please the spiritual master, you automatically please Krishna. So it's like you said, what do you really want? You want Krishna or do you want something else?
You go. Anyone want Shishupal? Pandraka?
Just one little quick comment. I was noticing that when you're chanting, your japa, Krishna's right in your hand. So you shouldn't let him slip right through your fingers if you're inattentive.
Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Harinam Ki Jai.